Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be his holy name, the Lord and Christ of the Bride. We thank the name of the Lord for this day. It's a day that he has made. We would rejoice and be glad in it. Also, thanks to Brother Piri for this opportunity to speak to the congregation of people of God today by a few verses of the scriptures. I will just be speaking today on the devil hitched a ride. And I will be starting off from the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 6, which says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." I believe that by understanding, we know that the sons of God there, or the sons of God there, isn't referring to angels as popularly known, but rather they are people or like minds, of like minds, people like you and I, who are believers, who present themselves before the Lord in that time. And presentation before the Lord would mean they come for a gathering to pray, to worship. So, but on this fateful day, there was a day. So on this one day, Satan hitched a ride. What I mean by Satan hitched a ride is that a son of God decided to put his or her back on the ground, or hands on the ground, so that the devil may ride on such a person to the church, to the congregation. So it means that the person decided to become a vessel to be used by the devil at that point in time. If we look closely at this, it would baffle us a little bit as to why such a person would give room for such an outrageous thing. Why would you be a vessel for the devil to use? Why would you become a horse for the devil to ride? Why would you come into the congregation that day to come and lay accusation on Job? But the answer to this is not far-fetched. And maybe this also would help us as Christians to understand the weakness that we have and leverage on the strength that God has so that we can consistently overcome. Amen. To unravel this, we definitely always have to go back to Genesis, right? In the very beginning, according to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, the Lord purposed in himself to make man. And that's 1:26. He said, and God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl, over the cattle, over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. The male and the female were original creation of God. And we know that that isn't referring to the body of earth. We know that that creation at that point in time is different from the formation that happened in Genesis 2. That is God creating the spirit, male and female, that he would later call Adam. Amen. So, as an original creation of God, he is not susceptible to possession. He is not susceptible to obsession. And as we would read in Genesis 2, the spirit Adam, who was created in Genesis 1, was placed in a body of dust. Genesis 2:7 said, "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And if we read further, we would also get to the point where the woman was separated from the man, was made out of the man. But remember that the man was an original creation that was not susceptible to possession, that was not susceptible to an influence. And we would understand why the serpent would rather go to talk to the woman and not the man, would rather go to test the woman, to tempt the woman and not the man. Amen. And that is because when God created man, that body could only be held by a single spirit. There was no room for any other spirit to infiltrate into that man. And we would understand why Paul emphatically said in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 14 that Adam was not deceived, because it was impossible for Adam to be deceived. We know by understanding that Adam decided to lay down and fall for his wife to be redeemed, a precursor for that which Christ would come to do. An exact copy, an exact pre-drama of that which Christ would come to fulfill. And yes, we know that something happened in the Garden of Eden, and which changed the entire nature of humanity entirely. It marked the nature of humanity, and it allowed us to have a hunchback like a camel, which the devil can sit upon. That is where the whole thing changed. In the beginning, it was not so. The devil cannot hitch a ride on you. He cannot influence you. He cannot speak to you and expect you to carry on that action. He cannot possess you. You cannot bring him to the church until after the fall. And how did that happen? As much as God had created man as the master of all of the earth, as the Lord over this earth, there was one in the garden who was serpent. That one had the ability to give the devil a ride. That one is the serpent. It could give the devil a ride. That is, was in his nature. And therefore, the devil's aim is not to possess serpent. No. The devil's aim is way beyond that. Now, let me paint it this way. The devil himself can possess serpent, who is like unto a cattle, because the Bible compared him to a cattle of the field. So it means he must have been an upright person or an upright beast of the field. But the devil cannot possess man, who is the Lord over the head. The devil has a aim, and the aim is simply to be a lord over this head. And how would he do it? The only way to do it is to merge the spirit or the nature of that which he can possess with the nature of that which he cannot possess, so that now there will be a struggle. And that is a struggle we have been having consecutively from the very moment we cried into this world. The struggle between being a true man and being a beast. There is a struggle between the man aspect of us and the beast aspect of us. And I'm using the word man in this scenario or in this situation to mean the very true nature which God had created us. We know the scriptures, how that the serpent was able to infiltrate his blood, was able to pass his blood into humanity. And therefore the man that was given birth to, Cain, as we have it, had a physique of a man, but yet had a physique of a beast. It was a big beast, and yet he was a man. He could do that which a man can do. He had the spirit of a man, but yet he possessed a body that was entirely mad with the nature of the serpent. And we know how that these two lines breached along the line, and God was wroth. And we know how that Noah came to be, and how that the three sons of Noah were already perfectly matched. They were already mixed by nature. And we know that we are all from those three sons of Noah. No matter which one you want to belong to, we're from those three sons of Noah. Right? So, that has given the room for the devil to hitch a ride in us all of the time. And how does he hitch this ride? You may be a true son of God, as in the days of Job, and yet, by the simple room to thoughts that raises up itself against Christ, that raises up itself against the well-being of your brother, that raises up itself against the well-being of your sister, those little thoughts, as we would call it, opens a portal for the devil to hitch a ride. Opens a portal for the devil to actually come into that moment where you are presenting yourself to your maker. That happens. Amen. The book of Job, again, that we read, chapter 1, verse 6, said something specifically there that I would like us to get back to. He said, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Now, the sons of God came to present themselves, and Satan came also among them. But there was a twist in chapter 2. He said, again, there was a day, another day, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Now, the Son of God, who gave the devil a ride in the first time, had allowed the devil to graduate from a mere influence to what we call an obsession or a possession. So it means he had allowed the devil to become a part and parcel of himself. So when he come before the Lord, he is coming with the devil to both present themselves before the Lord. He had become a host for the devil to live in. And yet, the Bible referred to him as a son of God. Now, what does this have to say concerning us? Where do you stand, my brother? Where do you stand, my sister? Are you a host for the devil? Are you giving the devil a ride? Are you backing him? Are you carrying him? Are you putting him on your head? How are you bringing him to the church? How are you bringing him to present your put of yourself to the Lord? Because the devil would always want a means to come, a body to host, and is always looking for the body of the sons of God to host him. That is singular him. He's not looking for a beast to possess. You have a frail body. You have a frail nature. You are man. You are a nurse. You are frail in nature. And by that, you are susceptible for the devil to use. Except, and except only when you allow Christ himself to possess you fully. That is when you are free. It is not just the moment when you are baptized. It is not just the moment when you proclaim Christ. It is your daily work in ensuring that you are filled to the brim with Christ. That is the only time you will not have a chasm that is opened up for the devil to use. That is the only time you will not have a chasm. You will not have a back for the devil to sit to take a ride. That is the only time. And we know what happens whenever there is a strange one among the children of God. Whenever we allow the chasm to open a bit, to allow it for a strange one to come and settle down, we know what happens. The same thing that happens when a strange one came amidst the children of Israel, Achan, when he decided to keep strange object, he put it on his back, he hunched it, he allowed that to itch a ride into the camp, and God destroyed people simply because of that singular fact. The setback in the church today, the destruction of the people of God, remember, someone itched, gave the devil a ride. Job's life was almost totally destroyed. His children were off. His possessions, they were all vamoosed. It was not Job who brought the devil to the church. It was one of his brothers or sisters that brought the devil to a church. Same thing is happening today. The cause of the backwardness of the church may not necessarily be on the person who is suffering. It might be on you and I. We might have had a thought. We might have made some actions. We might have subjected ourselves and allowed ourselves to be used by the devil. That is why you have to consistently check, am I filled today to the brim? Do I have a chasm opened up? You have to go continually on your knees. Lord, fill my cup. Fill it up. Make me whole. Close the chasm. I do not want to be a vessel for the enemy. I do not want to be a camel's back for the enemy. I do not want the devil to itch a ride in me. I want to be free with your spirit. I pray and I hope that you would hear this and see that actions need to be made to readjust, because if we do not, we will keep causing pain to the household of God. We will keep causing pain to the church of God, and we will keep thinking that we are fine because nothing is happening to us, because other people are getting sick or other people are being affected. Or other people are having problems, but we are not having problems. The fact that you are not having problems does not mean that you are free. You might actually be the one that is allowing the devil to eat your ride. So check yourself, and I pray that you all be blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.